sometimes in life you find yourself on the right side of the line.
This looks like what Roger Moore would look like if he had his feet up in imaginary stirrups while he was laying out on a beach towel.
Brent, that just ain't right. I'm surprised they use toilet paper.
Uh-huh. That Dixie cup you're drinking from looks like a shot glass. Did your head get that much bigger? It looks like a Unabomber with a hat on.
Now a member of the Global Ag Network.
Hit the record button because hitting the play button doesn't do anything on Audacity. Well, everybody, we've got a special treat. He's almost a co-host, but not quite. He's a remote host, but he's in the Denver airport. Casey, it's kind of smoky there. Is it? I see you're in where you had the Smashburger flag sticking out of your burger. Are you going over to the cannabis store next? It looks a little smoky in there.
Out of the outside.
Now I'm gonna get a Smashburger. Now I'm gonna get a Smash. Over here at the cannabis store.
You're gonna get smashed.
Yeah,
that's a good way to play on words there.
Are they playing Smash Your Mouth?
They were just a minute ago, actually. Which is ironic.
Are you an all star, Casey?
Sometimes I've been known to be.
So Casey, tell me, why are you in the, and everybody, if you didn't already realize, this is the Dryline Farmer podcast from our intro that we just played that Casey couldn't hear because I don't know how to hook stuff up. But nonetheless, it is. I've got, of course, as always, my co-host Landon. And I kept kind of, I wouldn't say blue balling Landon last night, but I just couldn't decide whether I wanted to do a podcast yesterday evening because, and I just sounded like I made a fart noise, but I kept slow playing. I'm like, dude, I told him, no, let's just do it tomorrow night. So, and we've had like Texas Panhandle standards. We've had almost a blizzard here. So
it's a rager.
It's, yeah. So I told, man, can we just do it Wednesday night? Because I'm just. Yeah.
Brent, anyway. I can honestly say you've never blue-balled me.
No, that's true. It was a poor lack of word, poor choice of words.
Yes.
Did I lose Casey? Casey? I think I just dropped Casey. Well, maybe we can get him back. Oh,
good.
There we go.
Good. He was dead air anyway.
Yeah, you were dead air anyway, Casey. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. First technical difficulty. But nonetheless, we are doing the episode here on a Wednesday night, and we have to do it tonight because I've already sent out a promo for the episode this week. So
smart.
I was forced to do that. But so, yeah, again, we've got Landon. And what, Landon, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Trader. I'm just kidding. Mine's NoTwitLandon44.
And we've got Casey Seymour, host of the Moving Iron podcast. Casey, you just came back from a Rumspringa over in Louisville? Where did you go?
Kind of something like that, yeah. But it wasn't Louisville. I did a speech at the United Equipment Dealers Association.
And where was that at?
That was in Louisville, Kentucky, at the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Yep. Nice. And so now you're taking time out of your busy travel schedule and kicking it in the Denver airport just to do the Dryline Farmer podcast.
I'm at your beck and call,
buddy. Very good. And you're at a Smashburger. That I gotta say, Casey, that chick over your right shoulder, not too hot.
Perfect. See if you can get her to listen. See if you can get us to download.
Maybe get her on the podcast.
Dude, get her a sticker.
Yes.
Get her a sticker. Dawson Tire. Well, anyway, guys, we've got Casey Seymour, and he is, like I said, not on the road. He's in the airport. So this week, I've kind of come to the conclusion Twitter and arguing on Twitter is what you would call insanity and very asinine to try to accomplish, because in no way have I ever become happy or satisfied out of a Twitter argument. Landon, I don't know if you've ever even been in a Twitter argument, have you?
I don't think so. I don't know if I've ever been in an argument. How do you...
No, I know better than that. Casey, have you ever been in a Twitter argument?
I think one time I went back to that one.
So y'all learn a little quicker than me. But Landon, what were you going to say?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, of course. Usually nothing. Well, I have. I've gotten into it... Not more times than I can count. Probably I can count on one hand, but that was too many times because like I said, never have I ever been satisfied or felt that I got any point across.
Did it ruin your day, Brent?
Yes. That was the guarantee. However many times that I've been in a Twitter argument, that's how many bad days I had. So we're going to talk a little about the insanity of that and why do people even bother? Because all they're going to do is Google and try to pull up some, article that they like that agrees with their position. So that's going to be a little bit part of maybe our main segment. But, Casey, we just got back from Atlanta. I just got back from the Fort Worth Stock Show. And
I don't see any big trophies.
No big trophies unless we got one of those. Is it like a magenta-colored ribbon?
Did you make the sale?
Thanks for playing. Hell no, we got the gate. Now, one of my brothers got both of their calves in the sale, and my oldest brother got one of theirs. And this Fort Worth Stock Show is really, I haven't been to, like Louisville and Kansas City and those other national shows, but this Fort Worth Stock Steer Show is pretty much known to be the granddaddy of all of them, because there's probably 1,500 to 1,600 steers that show up, and there's 27 classes, and the top 10 calves in each class make the sale, regardless of how many is in each class. And the quality of the cattle in this show is, you go down there thinking you've got a really good calf, and then you get stalled up and you look up and down just your aisle of just your barn, and there's 10 just like it or better. And just the competitiveness of this show is pretty legendary, and that's why they say it in the title of the show. But that's why it's so impressive to make the sale at this steer show. But the big brouhaha, especially on Twitter, was the whole story of the Grand Champion Steer and what that Grand Champion Steer brought. And that Grand Champion Steer was a Pole Hereford. And Casey, do you know what a Pole Hereford is?
I'm going to guess it's out.
Oh, God, you don't know anything, do you? You are a...
I know what a Hereford is.
Okay, it's a Hereford that is not horned. You've got horned Herefords and you've got polled Herefords, Casey. And the polled Hereford breed won the show. And the reserve grand champion was the horned Hereford. We just usually say just Hereford. But
is that like pulled pork?
No, not pulled Hereford. Pulled Hereford. yeah, you know all about pulling it. But so the first big thing about this was this is the first time a Hereford, regardless if it's polled or just horned Hereford, has won the Fort Worth Stock Show since 1982. And there's good reason for that, because the European cross calf always wins the show. And it usually almost always deserves to win the show, because it's just a higher quality type of animal. Well, this year, like I said, it was the Pole Hereford and the Hereford. And as I suspected, I'm like, if the rich people in Fort Worth, they love the nostalgia, especially when it comes to the Hereford, because back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, that's all that, that was all that would win is the Herefords. And I don't know if anybody's seen the pictures of they were probably 8 inches shorter than they raise them now.
I feel like we should have the country song, "This Is Our Town," playing in the background every time you say Hereford.
Or does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Yeah, one of the two. But so there was a whole lot of nostalgia there. And so this calf brought $300,000 to the grand champion. And in Fort Worth,
That's what it brought at the sale.
And the biggest thing about that is that the kid gets to keep everything. Now, San Antonio and Houston, they'll bring even, well, not San Antonio, but at Houston, it'll bring, maybe $400,000 or $500,000 if you're a grand champion steer. But it's capped. And the cap currently is like $80,000 for the grand, and maybe like $40,000 or $50,000 for the reserve grand. And yeah, that's still a whole bunch of money, but when it brings $500,000 and the kid doesn't even get a third of it, doesn't really seem fair. It does go into a scholarship fund, and Houston does have a huge scholarship fund just due to the fact of the large sale that they have there. But anyway, the Fort Worth deal became a whole Twitter story, and people started losing their minds on and they said, actually, Casey, just the same thing you did. Why would anybody buy $300,000 for a – you're turning the camera off. Why is that?
Maybe he's making a move with that chick in the background.
That's right. You're married, Casey. You're married. But
I get that part. They're going to glue the balls back on, and what happens?
Do what now?
They glue the balls back on?
No. This calf is going to be – well, actually, at Fort Worth – The Grand and Reserve Grand Steer go to the Fort Worth Zoo for a year, and they so they stand around for a year and pretty much just get hay for 365 days, and then they go to the processor. But no balls get glued back on. They would, even if they did do that and it actually worked, I still don't think it would be worth it. But nonetheless, Twitter's mind completely exploded. Because everybody had their own little opinion, and that's where I came into the whole argument and arguing on Twitter thing, and decided that no, there's no winners in arguing on Twitter. So, you know, my deal was I was actually down there, and like I said, my two nieces and my nephew, they all made the sale, and you know, they brought a bunch of money, you know, we had like a fourth place, they had a eighth and ninth place, and ironically enough, the worst place the kids got, the more money they got. So the fourth place she brought like $6,000 or $7,000, and the eighth and ninth place brought like 10 and 11 respectively. So it was kind of ironic. Really, what you want is the very last calf in the sale, because the last calf in the sale is the 10th place, like the last class of the European crosses, and it'll bring like 20 or 25, 30 grand. So it's pretty interesting how you find your sale. And every Hereford that was in the sale brought a little bit more than the other calves in the sale. So it was it all has to do with that nostalgia. And it's just a great system of capitalism, and that's what I liked about it. So, you know, everybody
– I think they should put the guy that pays $300,000 for a cow in the zoo for a year.
The guy that bought it.
Yeah, the guy that paid
$300,000. Put him like right next to it and feed him hay. Is that what you're saying?
Feed him whatever.
Feed this guy gold bricks. But, you know, everybody – a lot of people that were against it, you know, are the same guys on Twitter that I've seen that, you know – this is a free country, and we need more freedom and this and that. But yet when some rich guy does anything they want with their money and it gives it to a kid, all of a sudden it's kind of scandalous and stupid, and why would anybody do that? But whatever the case, it's a great thing. Money went to this family. I don't know the family personally, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about them, and they're really quality outfits. So, And you know, people have known there's been a lot of sketchy shit that's gone in the stock show market over the years, or not the stock show market, but the stock show circuit. What people have done to the animals, people have been kicked out of shows with illegal, steroids or whatever.
Pumping them full of water.
Pumping them and everything.
Is your season over, or are you going to
the
other ones?
No, we didn't make the sale, so we're going to Houston with this calf, and that'll, no matter what, it'll be the last show for it. And
so if you make the sale at Fort Worth, you don't bring your
no home. No. If you sell your calf at those majors, it's the end of the line. Yeah. So But and we're already actually going to be starting to look for a calf for next year, or this year, I guess. So that's already kind of on the front burner. But there's also lots of wholesome people in this deal, and it's gotten crazy what people are spending money on for calves, and even the hogs and the goats and the lambs and everything. It's just gotten, there's people buying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 hogs and $10,000 goats, and it's quite the insanity, Casey, if you weren't in that loop. So, people are paying more for cattle and goats and lambs than they are for tractors. That's what's crazy. So maybe you ought to do a speech on that. Well, guys, we're going to get into just wanted to get that out there. We've got a great sponsor this week, Anonymous Donors. These people don't want any recognition. They don't want anybody knowing who they are that they give their money to. So they're a great sponsor this week, and we're going to have our list of things that are probably a little more productive than arguing on Twitter. So we've got all that and more with Casey Seymour live from the Denver airport at Smashburger. Dawson Tire, on the Dryline Farmer Podcast. Hello, Susie Q here for Anonymous Donors. Are you a nonprofit organization who is brazenly looking for attention and admiration when people seek out your help? Well, we don't, because we're Anonymous Donors. So we ask you to call us at 1-800-WHODAT. That's 1-800-WHODAT? When you call anonymous donors, please ask for John Doe or even me, Susie Q. Now, obviously, these aren't our real names because we don't want any attention when we give our money away. Please don't ask us for our name, and we wouldn't dare ask you for your name. Anonymous donors. Although we find it appalling and sinful and very, very obnoxious that you would put your name on any donation that you would offer to, let's say, any large livestock show where you go into an auction and pay lots and lots of money because you have even more of that lots and lots of money. How dare you put your name on that? And what kind of stupid stuff is that anyway? You're going to go pay that much money for one head of cattle? Or say, two head of cattle? You're going to give that money away, and not only that, you're going to put your name on it and let everybody in the world see that? Well, we don't do that here at Anonymous Donors. As a matter of fact, we hereby rescind our invitation for you to call us up and ask us for our money. Because frankly, we would rather burn our $100 bills and our $1 billion assets in a pile of garbage than give it to you with any type of recognition. Anonymous donors. All right. Thanks, anonymous donors. We don't know who you are, but we really appreciate your anonymous support for all the nonprofit people and all these stock show people. Well, guys, we've got arguing on Twitter. It's more like arguing with idiots, even though it turns out that yourself is also the idiot in these arguments. What's the argument? Don't argue with an idiot because people won't be able to tell the difference between who's who. Isn't that the saying or something like that? I'm sure I butchered it. Isn't that right, Casey?
It's something along those lines.
Something like that. Well, y'all are a whole lot of help so far. Well, guys, we've got it. Here we go. It's Arguing with Idiots on Twitter on the Dryland Farmer Podcast.
I don't like that song, Brent. Play another one.
I can try another one. Here, let's
I'm
try
just arguing
one.
With you. I'm joking.
Here's a rap one.
I'm really going to argue with you.
Okay. We'll turn that down. All right, guys. Now, Landon, tell me you've come up with something.
Something that's better than arguing on Twitter. Yeah, watching my hair grow is better than... or hoping that my hair will grow in, you know, on the top.
Do you believe in any type of hair growth drug or hair systems?
Maybe the one where they pull the hair off your back and glue it to your head.
Glue it to your hair plug.
I guess that one. It's your real hair.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I don't mind too much. You know, it sucked when I was 20, but it, you know.
But you got married, mainly. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I'd quit caring about it before then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, Casey, now, Landon doesn't get any productivity out of his hair, watching his hair grow, but I thought of one thing here, and I've always had a kind of a problem with Michael J. Fox. So my first deal on the list was something that's more productive than arguing on Twitter would be letting Michael J. Fox take your turn playing Jenga. Casey.
God damn, dude.
What, is that wrong?
Yeah, that's pretty rough. And I watched Back to the Future 2 this weekend. You're a dick.
That was my favorite movie.
We could go back 18 seconds and kick you in the nuts before you say that.
Y'all can all just go straight to the hot place. Okay, now since I don't know if Casey's got anything written down, but I'm going to go ahead and go to number two. Something more productive than arguing on Twitter. That'd be trying to hook up with the wife after making her watch an entire season of Locked Up Extended Stay. Casey, do you like watching the Locked Up shows?
I've watched a few of them. Locked Up Abroad is my favorite.
Locked Ukraine?
Just abroad in general.
I love the episode where they're in Siberia. That one looks totally legit. I mean, those poor. It's like freaking 20 below, and all they've got is potatoes to eat, and it's pretty severe.
Like those shows too. We always make the guy that got put in jail or gal and put in jail out to be the victim, and they're trying to transport hashish across.
They knew better.
Make them out to be the victim.
Now, now this is kind of, let's see, we're, no, I'm going to do the one kind of related to the whole documentary thing. This is number three, more productive than arguing on Twitter. And that would be watching a serial killer documentary and expecting the killer to be anything else other than a white male in his 20s. I mean, let's be honest, everybody. I mean, white people have their problems, okay? It's one thing they've got a problem with. It's that they're all serial killers. Not all white people are serial killers, but all serial killers are white people. And even more so, all white or serial killers are white males in their 20s. Because was there? I don't think there's any been notable minority serial killers.
Oh, I'm sure there have.
I'm sure there have, but not notoriously.
Yeah, there was one. You ever watched that deal on Netflix?
Oh, I'm sure I have.
Mindhunter? Yeah. There's a TV show called Mindhunter.
Oh, yeah. I read the book, too. Which one? Which guy? The Atlanta Child Murders. That was like the whole second season, wasn't it, Casey?
Yeah.
What was his name? Wasn't Brown, was it? Anyway. But yeah, it was real fascinating the way they went through that. But yeah, so that one breaks my whole theory of all white. But I mean, the vast majority, like 90% rate of white dudes: Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, Son of Sam.
Maybe the other ones are just better at not getting caught.
That's true. That's a good point, Kate, Landon. But, you know, who's the last serial murder we had? Was it the Washington, D.C. sniper? Would you say that the last serial killer?
Oh, man, I listened
killer?
To a podcast on him. I forgot. I remember that, but it was crazy.
That happened the year after we came back from our D.C. internship, and we knew all the place, or, you know, Silver Spring, Maryland, and all that. Is that the last prolific serial killer think of?
Those two guys were crazy. One was a kid.
That's the last one I can remember.
And those were... They were black guys. One of them was Muslim, I think. The boy was.
What? Wasn't my dad and the son? Isn't that what it was? Like that?
I think it was dad and son.
It might have been like a stepson. I mean, I don't know. It was something similar like that, because I listened to a podcast on it a few months ago.
I'm trying to remember their name.
But they had a setup in the car where they could open up their trunk, and they're laying back there. And
The radio guy always talk about Phil Hendry. So back when he had his radio show, he had one of his characters come on. Was it Lloyd Bonafide? I don't know. No, it was another guy.
Lloyd
anyway,
Braun.
No, Lloyd Braun. You could never measure up to Lloyd Braun. But no. Anyway, I think it was Jay Santos. Anyway, they were going around and they were because they thought the DC sniper had painted their van. So he was going around with an angle grinder and scratching off everybody's car paint to see if it had been painted or whatever. And it was a whole episode. It was one of those classic episodes, but it was really good. But
Jay Santos of the
Citizens Auxiliary Police. Exactly right, Casey. Okay, so now this one's kind of a burn on Landon. And we're back to what's more productive than arguing on Twitter. And that would be waiting for Landon to buy a phone made with electricity.
Ooh, snap, son.
That's not going to be a very productive wait.
No, that's going to be forever. Landon keeps showing up with a can and a tight string.
I've got one since we're burning each other.
Okay.
More productive than arguing on Twitter, counting the times that Brent says nonetheless during a podcast.
or the word Landon.
Or Hartford.
Or what?
Or Hartford for this episode.
Well, this episode, yeah.
JK,
yeah. LOL. LOL, Casey. All right, I've got one more, and this is more productive than arguing on Twitter, and that would be waiting for Andy Dick to come up for air while motorboating Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that takes a while.
Have y'all seen the clip of him where he's sitting, I don't know, I can't remember which TV show it was, if it was Jimmy Kimmel. Anyway, he was on, like, the couch, and he was interviewing Ivanka Trump. And he kept touching her or whatever. Andy kept touching her. Anyway, they finally, I don't know if it was a setup deal or whatever, but they actually had security getting out of the, because he kept touching Ivanka Trump on the leg.
You said Andy Dick. I thought you said any. I gotcha.
I mean, I guess that works.
I guess it would. I don't know.
But this is a G-rated one, though. This is definitely not a G-rated show. Casey, now you're sitting in the airport. Is there anything in the airport you could do that's more productive than arguing with somebody on Twitter? Did Casey
watch the rerun of last season's Super Bowl?
Nice. Just the past Super Bowl or last year's?
No, no, last year's.
That, or maybe getting that plain-looking lady to be on our podcast.
All right, do you think you can go find that four and bring her over here to get her to talk on the podcast, Casey?
No. I probably should, but I'm not going to.
We got a trio of threes talking about a four.
Oh man, now that we're gonna have to put. I'm gonna have to highlight that one for the next new intro because that's pretty quality right there, Landon. I gotta admit. So now you're a parent just like we are, Landon. Is there anything more productive with your kids you could be doing than arguing on Twitter?
Yes, we could be watching The Great Pumpkin for the 9,000th time and hoping that The Great Pumpkin actually shows up.
Yeah. Well, your daughter is wearing a skeleton shirt, so that...
We watch Charlie Brown all the damn time.
I keep trying to put on Bubble Guppies, but she just ain't having no part of it.
If you had Snoopy, she was watching.
If I'd have known that, maybe we could have something going on for her down here.
Yeah. We're all pretty excited about Friday night for the Valentine's Charlie Brown episode.
Oh, now, Casey, do your kids still have the... are they still in the Valentine's for Everybody age at school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my youngest son had to go get all the accoutrements to make his Valentine box at school.
Accoutrements.
I think my daughter had to do the same thing.
Now, remind me how old your kids are.
My youngest is 7, and my middle one, she's 10.
So. Okay, you're making me sick here, but because you're switching the camera everywhere. Casey, at this point, what kind of game would you say your son is showing at this point in his life? What kind of game? Does he throw down some mad game in first grade yet?
Yeah, he's getting after it pretty hard. There's not too many. Let's put it this way: he's never met a girl that's a stranger.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter how old they are either. He's that guy.
Oh, he's a player. He plays the entire age range, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty tight. So where are you headed?
I'm headed to my gate.
I know. So, Casey, I think we're both just kind of waiting for this situation with you in the airport to turn into a whole Die Hard 2 situation. We're gonna be like your eyes. We're gonna have your six.
Well, it is snowing out here.
Nice.
It's snowing. It's Die Hard 2.
All you gotta do is
cut a hole in the wing, let it start leaking fuel, and blow the plane up.
Whatever you do.
I think Die Hard 2, Die Hard 2 had the
ejection
the,
seat.
Runway was like,
yeah.
The runway was like 75 miles long.
Yeah. Casey, whatever you do, don't go to the annex. It's a perfect bottleneck for an ambush.
If you see Russians, run, is all I can say. Or who was that command?
Or if you see the guy from NYPD Blue walking around, you better you better watch out.
Yeah. What was his name? Oh, God. What is that actor's name?
It was the politician that ran the airport.
He died. Yeah, he ran for president.
Was it Fred something?
Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson.
He was on Law and
Fred
Order.
Fred Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the black guy in air traffic control that was like the smartest one there.
Yeah.
The short little black guy.
Yeah, except on one part, they're like, because that guy's like, he knows everything, and they're like, all right, get back there and call the army. And he's like, I thought they were the military. And he's like, who gives a fuck?
Okay, at 12:16, Landon, I have to bleep.
That's my favorite line of the whole movie.
That is pretty. It's not yippee-ki-yay. Does he say yippee-ki-yay in every episode?
I don't know. I don't know. I just like that line because you've like got people that are trying to kill you, and you're worried about army and military. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. That is one of the better diehards. I mean, the first one's pretty much the gold standard, but that one. Well, I don't know. They're all pretty good, but I don't want to get into a whole deal. So, Casey, you're headed back home. You've been gone. How long you been gone? And what do you have in your mouth?
Sunday. One of those things, you know, you can put like olives on or cherries on or something.
A lot of comedy gold.
By the way, you need to blow your nose.
I need to blow my nose.
And you've got some mustard in your beard.
Probably.
The reason I'm saying this, people, is because Casey has his phone and it's going straight up his nose. Actually, he's got the like the double popped collar going on. He's got his jacket collar popped, and he's also got his green polo popped.
Well, this has quickly turned into the Casey roast. This is the Casey walk of shame right here.
Casey, how many handicapped parking spots would you say you take up at the airport every time you pull in?
Now he's putting the camera towards his rear end.
The scary thing about this is it's shaking and he's on a moving sidewalk.
Those things are awesome.
It should be a little smoother than that. Yeah, I know. And then you get the people like, or like on the escalators, like, why are you standing there? Because it's an escalator and it moves for me. That's the whole point.
That's the whole idea. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to stand to the right and walk to the left. So, which, I mean, that is a good point, I guess. So, but anyway, okay, guys. Well, you're probably not thinking anything but how you're going to get to your gate, are you? Are you? Can you pre-board? They'll probably let you pre-board, won't they?
Oh, I'm ready to go, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you probably got some special qualification.
How long of a flight is it?
Like 40 minutes.
Oh,
not very long.
And you're flying JetBlue?
United.
Does United suck?
Oh, not any worse than any other. The rest of them do.
Yeah.
Don't say that until you land.
That's true, yeah. Well, if the pilot's name is Quagmire, then you can start getting worried. But
giggity.
giggity. But, Casey, I don't want to keep you any longer. You've been a good sport, and we're going to get out of here and get out here in the next week. And Casey doesn't, like, if we don't do a Wednesday morning episode, he just doesn't say anything or call me or text me or nothing. He just assumes I'm cool with it. What if I want to do an episode?
You got to let me know if you got something hot heavy.
Well, that's your deal.
Well, I thought we were a team, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I mean, I guess so. I'll start asking.
I'm the quarterback now.
All right.
I'm the quarterback now.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, let's go here. All right, guys. Well, Casey, we'll get you pieced out. And Landon, anything else?
No.
All right.
Nothing I can say on air.
We've already passed that point.
I know.
Well, guys, we hope you all have enjoyed this episode. I can't say that I have, but I don't really have anything else to do this evening. So we're gonna get out of here and wish Casey a safe flight. And be sure to check out his podcast. You're going to find his podcast everywhere in, like, the world and the universe. They said I saw a news story where they think they found radio signals from a world 500 million light years away. So we got that going for us. The only problem with that is that's from 500 million years ago. But so maybe the Moving Iron podcast will be on some universe or some galaxy far, far away. But you'll also find him there, just like the Dryland Farmer podcast in the Global Ag Network. So, guys, until next time, y'all stay safe, y'all stay cool, and we'll ask you, what side of the line are you on?
The Dryland Farmer Podcast brought to you by
anonymous donors. Even we don't know who we are.
The Dryland Farmer Podcast, a member of the Global Ag Network, All Rights Reserved, 2020.